Good evening, you glorious humans of the internet. Welcome once again to another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, bringing real talk to matters of disability with no excuses. Chad, Andy, and Brett sitting around ready to rant once again. We had a guest lined up for tonight up until seconds ago. And unfortunately, due to unforeseen technical difficulties, that sounds like a cover-up kind of line, but that's actually what happened. Mr. Matt Argwin is not able to be with us this evening, but we are all set up and ready to record, so we figured we would talk to the internet on what is a Friday night for us, because it seemed like a good idea. How are we, gentlemen?
But are we going to do this every week? Usually you go, then I go.
No, you know what? Let's switch it up. Like, why do I always have to be the one that leads?
No, we just have an established order.
Chad, I'm doing very well. How are you this evening?
There it is. There it is. We don't have to have an order. That's a couple in a row now where we get this awkward silence when I ask you guys how you are.
Yeah, well, Brett's doing very well, he said, so I guess I will fill a little more time, as this is a podcast, and we would like it to be more than a minute and a half. So, yeah, I'm doing good. I think trying to follow the social distancing protocol. A lot of hours spent in the house, and it's been – fortunately, I can do a lot of work from home, but – the downside is my fitness clients have all canceled, and understandably so. So I'm trying to see what online workouts look like, and if that's even feasible with the clients that I have. So that's what I got going on right now.
You called me, I don't know, was that today? I don't know. They've all the days have blurred together, but we had a very brief voice conversation, and I could hear the chaos of your house even over the phone. One thing that I think we've discovered about social distancing is that it's quite easy to record a podcast and maintain social distancing guidelines. So one of the things we want to be a little bit more intentional here with on the podcast is trying to get some more content out on a more regular basis, especially during this quarantine period here, just because it's easy for us and we've got some time on our hands. And we'll chat more about that as the episode continues. As I mentioned, I think we had other plans for tonight. We had a guest lined up, and that guest is still scheduled to be on the show. And I know Matt's got a lot to contribute to our podcast and the message of it. It didn't work out tonight, so we're going to have him back on in the future. And as I said earlier, we were all set up and ready to go, and so we thought we would chat with you guys about what's happening in the world and how that looks for us in the next little while, because each of us now, obviously, like the entire world really, has been affected by what's going on. So you are getting to spend a lot more time at home, Andy, and are you enjoying the chaos of having Maya probably running around your ankles? Is she trying to knock you over regularly or what?
No, she's pretty good. She knows that I don't move at the same pace as her mom, or as most people for that matter. But actually, now that we're talking about it, one thing that came to my head was she was like jumping all over me. I was sitting on the couch, and when my brother's over, she'll like climb up on his shoulders and like he'll run around with her on his shoulders.
Like, and she's like, why can't you be more like Uncle Steve?
Exactly. She got up on my shoulder. She's like, pick me up like Steve does, right? So so that sucked. I did kind of explain to her why I can't do that. And I don't know if she got it, but it's not my proudest dad moment to say I made it up to her by getting her some ice cream, and then we had a sleepover.
So,
And not probably the best parenting way to go, but I felt pretty bad that I can't do that.
You had a sleepover with your daughter. Does she at that point? Does she come into the room with you, or did you go sleep in her room?
Actually, man, we have a spare room. It's kind of funny because Sam has said in the past how inaccessible.
My yeah.
So there's three separate levels, all separated by two pretty big flights of stairs. So you've been in the main
level. Yep, that's the only level of your house that I've seen for obvious reasons.
Yeah, so the upstairs is it's like a one-bedroom, I guess, loft. There's a bathroom there too. So we just use it as a guest room if anybody ever needs to spend the night for whatever reason. And now that she's home, we're utilizing that space more. So anyways, had the sleepover up there. There's a TV up there. Like I said, got some snacks, watched a couple movies, and not a couple movies, a couple TV shows. Mm-hmm. And then have my daughter up till like...
I was going to say, if you watch two movies, your daughter is a Nighthawk. That's amazing.
She was up till 9:30, which is very much past her bedtime. And the following day, she went to bed at 5:30. So it clearly took its toll. And it was a good night, though.
Bretzky, you have some news, and I checked in with you to make sure that you were comfortable talking about this on the air. And what I love about you, and I've said this since day one, is your transparency. You have become a viable and valuable, that's a good word, I've been out of work too long, member of this team. You started as a guest, and we've just... It's so good with you now that we can't even ask you to leave, even if we wanted. But I've loved your transparency since day one. So you started at work this week. I'll let you kind of pick up where that went. But if I'm not mistaken, I think you started your work week in a normal fashion, but it didn't end up that way. Am I correct?
Yeah. So I mean, we've all been going through the motions this week about what's been going on, and it started late last week, I guess, that they raised the red flag here in Canada or here in North America that some pretty heavy stuff was going to go down. And over the weekend, I'm lucky enough, I live with my mom, but over the weekend, her and I sat down and had a pretty heavy chat about things, and we decided it was in my best interest to at least entertain the idea at work to see if they would allow me to take a leave of absence from them for a undetermined period of time. And when I say undetermined, I literally don't know when I will be seeing them again.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I don't think that anybody knows, and there is so much uncertainty really that has taken over the world, and I don't think anybody can say, you know, when this thing will run its course. Everybody just kind of being safe. I know I could say the same thing in my profession, and Andy as well, as he's working from home. Everybody is just doing what they can to stay safe in the interim. And wherever you are, wherever you're listening, we hope that you're safe and that you are following, you know, the protocols in place for success in, you know, flattening the curve or doing whatever we have to do to beat this thing. So your reasoning for wanting, and I love that you had that conversation with your mom, your reasoning for wanting that leave of absence was largely, and again, sort of to bring it full circle for our listeners, again, assuming, and we don't really know, but we've mentioned before, we're assuming that if you're listening, we know we have quite a few listeners who are members of the differently abled or whatever we're calling them, you know, society, listeners with a disability. Maybe, I don't know what the heck we call them, but yours was largely for medical reasons, your decision to kind of step away?
100% due to medical reasons. I work in a food manufacturing plant where cleanliness and hygiene is key. Obviously, I'm a clean person. I certainly hope anyway. The two of you would tell me differently if I was.
Why do you think we do the podcast remotely?
No. And you know what? As I said that, I started to think about it. But, you know, this whole virus and how easily it's transmitted, and the fact that I push my wheelchair around, everywhere I go, and I can't really control what's going on the pavement out in front of me, outside and whatnot. So I went in there on Monday, and I had a brief chat with somebody, and we came to a conclusion that it was in everybody's best interest, and these people have treated me with nothing but love and respect since I started with them 5 years ago. There was no hesitation. They said, "Take your time, and your job is there once everything is smoothed over." So
that's awesome, man. Great to know that you had the support of your employer. I imagine that that's what's happening largely around the world as people make these decisions for their own safety and the safety of those that they love and obviously their loved ones. So, you know, you would hope that that is the case. I think that one of the things that has kind of been brought to my attention through social media and some of the people I follow on Twitter and stuff is, you know, there has been so much, and Andy's a great example of this now, having to work remotely. And there's been so much of that happening with employers doing whatever it takes to allow their employees, to work remotely, provide remote access options for them, and so on and so forth. You know, and it makes you wonder, as a member of the community of those with have disabilities, again, or however we're saying it, the disabled community, that would have opened up a lot of doors for a lot of people with disabilities to be able to work effectively if they would have been given access to work remotely. And you have to wonder, and again, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but you have to wonder if that has been seen in the past as being too difficult to set up, but then something like this makes it all of a sudden easy to get everybody working from home, right?
Well, I think easy is a pretty I don't think easy is an accurate word. It's not easier, or they would do it. I think right now it's a necessity. So they're figuring out
Just to chime in and play devil's advocate, 100%, this is necessity, right? But if I'm a member of the disabled community who, for example, needs, you know, consistent medical attention or is has to be able to work from home, you wonder if an employee would go that route. When an employer would go that route and make the necessary setups when they have an able-bodied employee that could do the job, you know, and I use air quotes for this, which you can't see, but easier, right? So it's, again, just playing devil's advocate, throwing it out there for food for thought.
No, I understand your point, but Brett's a great example of that. Like, he wasn't working from home, obviously, but if you listen back to the episodes long enough, you'll know, like, he just said he wanted a job, and he was so passionate about working for the particular place where he's at now, they created a job for him, right?
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying, and you're playing devil's advocate. So I don't know if we're both playing devil's advocate here, but what you're saying is true. And it's definitely doable, obviously, because people are doing it now. But you're looking at one employee as a person with a disability as opposed to your entire workforce. Like, so if your entire workforce now can work remotely, you're going to figure out a way to do it, right? And as a person with a disability, if you want that availability in regular job situations – you have to, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but you have to pull a Brett.
You have to really, did we just make his name a verb?
Yeah.
Wow.
You have to really show initiative, right? And it sucks. It sucks that there's not a level playing field, but it's just, that's the reality, right? So now, as an employer, again, you're looking at, can I make my entire workforce work remotely? And if so, we're going to do that because in the long run, it's going to be more beneficial to our business, right? And I don't know how many times I've said now it sucks for somebody with a difference of ability. I don't know how many different terms we've used already.
Tonight. But, you know, we should have a running counter. Ding, you know, it just keeps going up and up.
We haven't used my favorite, but I guess that's for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and again, I'm going to say, like, maybe I'm the exception to the rule, but I've only ever had jobs where I work for myself or it's a job I can do with my skill set, if that makes sense. So
where you're saying, and just to jump in and clarify, you're saying that like you've only had jobs that whether you had a disability or not, it doesn't matter, right?
Sorry, that's a much better way to say it. Like I think I've said before, I know my limitations, right? Like I'm never gonna be a construction worker, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like manual labor guy.
I think in a way you actually are a construction worker. you construct bodies.
Oh.
Or you reconstruct bodies.
Reconstruct bodies. I was not picking up what he was putting down there either, so I'm glad we laid out and let him clarify.
I thought we were going to start singing like the YMCA or something. But.
We'll circle back to your personal training career in a second, but continue what you were saying there, Andy.
No, it's frustrating as a person with a disability that now that there is a necessity to figure out how to get your employees to keep working, employees are figuring it out. But I'm saying, if you have to do it for one, or if you have to do it for 10 who can work normally, you're going to do it for the 10 that can work. Yeah. Like it's just, it's economics and it's horrible. It's an awful way to look at things, but that's just the reality, unfortunately. Yeah. So, and again, Brett speaks very highly of his employer and they made changes for him, right? And that's the exception to the rule, right? That doesn't usually happen. So,
I think, and again, to sort of circle back there, and again, if you sort of want to hear the story of that, you'd have to go back to the old episodes, which are readily available on any device of your choosing. Brett talks about the story, and I love this story, Brett, where you just kind of, you know, you just dust yourself off and you went in there looking for work, right? And we've ranted and raved at length on the podcast and off the air about those that wait for the perfect opportunity to be handed to them. And you just went and got it, right? And I think that initiative a lot of the times is what's been missing. So I'm glad that you were able, obviously, in these crazy times and in consultation with your loved ones, knowing that it was a safe move, the safest move for you to step away, not literally speaking, of course, from your employer. I'm glad that they were able to meet your needs in such an accommodating and really, it sounds like, no questions asked kind of way, which is great.
Brett, can I jump in for a sec?
Yeah, of course.
So my question is, and you aren't the only person to bring this up. Chad mentioned it too. And I've seen a little bit online, but as a wheelchair user and you have a compromised immune system as well, which was a big decision, which we just talked about. But so are you in the house full time now or are you going out at all?
I walked out of my house for about 2 minutes today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just to get some fresh air?
Yeah. I had to go to the dumpster. the personal dumpster that we have at the house.
Oh, I was like, what? Like he's had to get rid of that body you were stashing in the basement? Like,
well,
kind of counterintuitive to everything you just said. But
right now is the perfect time to get rid of it, isn't it?
Yes. No one would suspect a thing.
What about you, Chad? What does your day look like?
Today or all day? You know, it's I have really, much like you, Andy, probably been adjusting to life as a dad with my kids around all the time. Obviously, I've got my weekends at home with my kids, you know. But this has been, you know, what has been a weekend for me for the better part of a week now. And likely obviously not stopping for again, an indefinite amount of time. So I've just been trying to keep the kids engaged and, you know, keep them away from, the obvious, you know, watching Netflix and movies and playing video games all day. Obviously they're kids, they want to do that. And frankly, so do I. I'm a bit of a kid too. So I like my screen time as much as anybody else, but just trying to keep them engaged. In terms of today though, and whether or not this situation has kept me in the house, I mean, the short answer is yes. I have really done my part to try and stay in my house as much as possible. I've found a lot of frustration in those. And again, I think we have talked at length about, you know, I'm certainly not immunocompromised, but we've talked at length about my little niece, Brooklyn, and her journey and some of the things that she's facing. So kids like that are always on my mind when it comes to stuff like this. And I think everybody needs to do as much as possible to keep themselves protected and their loved ones protected, as I've said, but I think really to keep others protected. And I'm just trying my best to not, you know, be selfish and sort of think, because there seems to be, and you know, social media has been such a game changer with this thing. You know, I think the last time we went through anything remotely close to this was like, you know, back in the SARS days, and social media didn't really exist, and so nobody really had their soapbox to get on. But you read so much now about, you know, young people in particular just kind of going out and doing their thing and not really being worried, because even if they get it, they get it. It's not a big deal. So I'm just trying to do my best to, you know, kind of squash that and think of others as much as possible. Today I made a trip over to the grocery store. That was as far as I went to try and we've got a grocery store very close to my house. So we usually make like daily trips there. We very rarely do like big grocery shops, weekly grocery shops and things like that, just because I'm so close to my grocery store. Today I went over there for essentials. Toilet paper was was not one of the things I was able to get. We're going to be – yeah, what's that? No, there was no toilet paper. We're going to be probably – we've got adequate Kleenex in my house. We're probably going to be using that very soon. But unless I can, you know, find a stash.
Oh, I thought you said you weren't going over for toilet paper.
No, I wasn't. I looked. I looked. You know, I looked because if I could have picked some up. I mean, we're probably down to like two or three rolls left in the house. So if I could have got some, I would have. That's a whole other ranting issue. I don't understand the particular chaos around toilet paper. Yeah, I couldn't get that, but I was able to get milk, bread, things like that. And I mean, it's crazy, and I mean, we're all living it, so I'm sure you all know, you know, the grocery stores are pretty nuts, and people are weird, and not weird, but over-panicked, and maybe not over-panicked. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, that's just
– might not be over-panicked, but they don't need as much toilet paper.
Yeah. Well, that's just it, right? So, I mean, my experience at the grocery store was there. I literally got the last bag of milk, so – we were lucky to do that, and I got some necessities. Again, I don't know how much I have mentioned, you know, my wife's role in all of this is really intense, and she's been on my heart so much in the last couple of weeks, because she's literally a frontline type person as a nurse. She's literally surrounded by it every day, and I say that not even exaggerating. She recently got news from her hospital that they were turning her floor into a COVID floor. So she's going to be working with those that think they might have been exposed and part of the testing process and everything. It's just, it's insane to sort of think about that. It's so easy for me really to enjoy my time with my kids and be safe in my house. And there are many people like my wife in the healthcare profession and the grocery store employees and so many kind of frontline employees through all of this that are remaining open and helping everybody navigate this chaos. So anyways, that's a long, long story, but that was my way of saying the furthest I went today was the grocery store. I'm trying to get outside for some fresh air daily, even if it's going out to my back porch and or barbecuing during dinner or, you know, something to just get outside a bit. But I'm not really going far at all, and I'm doing that intentionally. It's not that I couldn't. It's that I don't want to. I want to try and respect what's been put in place for our safety. Trying to self-isolate as much as I can.
Yeah, man. So a couple of things. With Crystal and her floor, into the COVID floor, is she at higher risk now? I would assume so, right? But somebody told me once that you shouldn't assume.
So. I would think so too. We have regular conversations about the chaos of her work, and she typically, obviously, her floor is an acute medicine floor, so really they see everything. It's basically everything that either doesn't fit into a particular category or just is anything, you know, sort of all and above. But but she just got, and again, so she works this crazy schedule where she's doing fours and fives. She does four in a row and then has 5 days off. She, in her last row, ended up working 5 12-hour shifts in a row, 60 hours before the overtime. So easily probably put in 70 hours last week. And it's just insane. She's honestly my hero. It's incredible. She got news at the end of that stretch that the next time she came to work, that it would essentially be a COVID floor. So, I mean, my heart's just been worried about her. I would imagine that, of course, she's going to be at higher risk than certainly, you know, your average citizen, because there's, you know, it's growing at such a crazy rate, and she's literally going to be, you know, helping with some of the testing. And so she would have to be more easily exposed.
I would agree. But also, I guess the only reason I asked that question is because there has to be some sort of safety protocol, I would think, right?
Yes, so. Certainly they are. And again, anyone that's listening in the healthcare profession, you're probably living this way more than I can speak to. But she does tell me, obviously, that there are way more, and just like every other business now, way more increased safety precautions. She's having to wear a ton more PPE, personal protection equipment, more masks and gloves and gowns and everything else that goes into it. She did mention that they are, she has to go in half an hour early now for every shift just so that they can do more screening on all the employees. And so, yeah, it's getting crazy. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, as you listen to this, just be taking care of yourself, because we're living in not only uncertain times, as we mentioned, but certainly crazy times.
Now, you mentioned, obviously Crystal's schedule is all over the place. Kids aren't in school. So you're the man of the, like, you're the man of the house anyways, but let's be real. Crystal runs the house. So you're in charge. Yeah. Your kids are substantially older than mine. Do you stick to a schedule or just kind of?
We haven't this week. And that was intentional. As we record this, is, you know, currently the tail end of what would have been actual March break. So I told my kids going in to enjoy this week and kind of treat it as their March break in terms of, you know, no schedule or, you know, I'm not making them do homework or things like that this week, because, you know, although it's obviously typically, I mean, let's be honest, this is a very irregular March break for mostly everyone, I would assume. It's not a typical sort of relaxing scenario. But certainly in the next couple of weeks, as we break away from school, as we've been sort of mandated to keep schools closed, there will be a lot more routine sort of set up. And I'm not, you know, I'm certainly not going to be that, you know, drill sergeant type parent, even though I do teach for a living. But obviously there's going to be some daily schoolwork being done. Their teachers were actually amazing. All of my kids sent work home. We're all kind of living this thing where we don't know how long this is going to last and what it'll look like when we go back and how much we're going to be expected to cram into our students when we go back. And so, and again, as a secondary teacher now, but someone who has lived the elementary teaching side for a few years, I'm sympathetic to the amount of material they have to cover with our young people as well. And so they sent home quite a bit of work for our kids to do. So that'll start very soon as we come to the end of this, what would be March break. We'll get them into a more established routine. I do obviously want to respect the fact that they're kids, make sure to try to give them, you know, time outside, obviously within social distancing, you know, guidelines. They're not going far. They're either going out front or out back. And, you know, but they've been amazing, and it's been really great watching them play. Like, they did ask to go to the park today. And even today I had to say, like, the park's probably not a safe spot. So even as young kids, they're understanding it. Even my youngest is only 5 and he gets it. The word coronavirus has become a part of his vocabulary, which is never something that I thought I would say. But I mean, he gets it. It started out with daddy saying there's a lot of germs out there and stuff. And he goes, "You mean coronavirus?" And I was like, "Whoa, that caught me off guard." So, I mean, kids get it, at least on their level, and as much understanding as they have, you know, they get it. And who knows, we don't even get it as adults. We don't even know what's coming, but they asked to go to the park today, and that one, because I mean, today here in Hamilton was a nice day for a little bit before we had some rain. And so we had to advise them otherwise, but they were out today on their bikes and having some fun. And I think, you know, I want to try to stick to that as much as possible, allowing them to be kids and have fun, but also kind of trying to respect the fact that we have to kind of navigate these waters that we're in together, and try to bring a little bit more scheduling to the next couple of weeks.
I was going to say, I don't know about you guys, but it's kind of frustrating to see the people that aren't, you spoke already, kids are going on spring break. They aren't heeding the warnings, right? Because, I mean, obviously you got to do what you got to do. Chad, you got to go get groceries. I understand that, but, being out now as much as I am, just like I said, day-to-day walks, it doesn't look like the city is shutting down as much as I would think it should be. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, so much is changing every single day, right? For me, obviously we have had, we, as you know, we being kind of the teacher group, my group of employees, we've known for obviously the last little week how serious it was, because, you know, they said they were going to shut down schools for a couple of weeks. But I mean, literally every day, things get, you know, things, I don't want to say they get worse, but they change every single day. Every single day they change. And I'm also, we've talked a little bit on the podcast in the past about my musicianship and playing gigs. And, you know, I've had gigs that were happening, you know, one day, and then obviously very understandably not happening the next. And it's just so hit and miss. I'm very grateful for the stability that my teaching career brings, because I have quite a few friends who are full-time musicians and are, you know, rely on that capacity to play shows as income, and that can't happen now. Matter of fact, I was speaking to somebody today who was sort of talking about the potential now for live streaming concerts over the internet, and having donations being accepted for that as a way of to generate income for those kind of freelance artists or those that rely on playing shows and playing music as a full-time career. As musicians here in the city. So again, who knows what that'll look like, but it's changing daily. And absolutely, Andy, just to circle back to your last point, I think I said it earlier in a bit of a rant. It seems like a lot of young people, and I get it, school's out, right? The universities, a lot of universities have pulled the plug on the year, or said, we're pulling the plug for now. Online learning is happening. You know, I was just speaking to one of my graduated students who's now at Mac in first year. She tells me that all their courses are still happening, but in an online environment. So there's a lot of freedom around that. And young people sort of think, hey, I can go on this spring break or still go on this trip. And even those that traveled over March break, and no judgment here, you know, I probably wouldn't have went on the trip. But again, you can't even make that call, because it's been such a day-to-day thing. It's been changing every day. But where I've found frustration recently seems to be in the younger demographic who, and I literally watched, and maybe I should stay off social media, but I watched something this week, as recently as a couple days ago, with a young person on spring break, basically saying, even if I get it, I'll beat it. So I'm going to go enjoy my spring break. Right.
And I thought, yeah, I saw that too.
Oh man. I just want to reach through my screen and like, and I sound like such a, maybe an old guy, old guy. It's kind of, you know, saying this, but I just want to reach through that, the screen and just give that kid's head a shake, you know, because again, I'm firmly plugged into the universe that it will affect. I've got elderly parents, you know, not even that. I'm firmly plugged into many, many people who are immunocompromised, and this could be a huge game changer for those. And to sort of hear those words was just such a, I don't know. I don't even know what to think. I was disgusted by it, actually, to be honest. I get it. University's been canceled. You want to go enjoy, you know. But I think there's so much more going on. There's such a much bigger picture here than one or two or a group of people's happiness, right? Like there's some serious stuff at stake.
Yeah, and obviously on a much smaller scale. We were young and stupid at one point too, right? Like, I would imagine if you interviewed that guy in 10 years, he wouldn't be that.
Yeah. I hope so anyway.
So anybody can get the disease, right? Yeah. But you might not even show symptoms, right? So let's just, for example, we'll compare apples to apples because we can do that, right? If we recorded this podcast live instead of remotely, if we recorded it in person, live is the wrong word. If we recorded it in person as opposed to remotely, if I had corona and I didn't show any symptoms, Brett could get it, and he's already said he's immunocompromised, yeah. Right? So, like, nobody knows at this point. So it's just, we got to wait and see, and it kind of sucks, but not kind of, it really
it does,
sucks.
Yeah, it does. And you said it, Andy, it's literally just a wait and see and do your part to try and minimize the effects, right? And that's why I, am quite content to try and stay home as much as possible. Obviously, there are situations where it can't be avoided, and you got to do what you got to do. But really, and I'm being honest, man, the only time I've been out of my house in the last, what is a week now, is really just to go to the grocery store. I had actually a service call for my wheelchair to have some things looked at. I've got some issues with some seating and a part of the frame. I've talked at length before about how I am not exactly easy on my chair as a full-time wheelchair user and as someone in, you know, you can get your shots in here, but as someone who doesn't drive, my chair is my car, and I probably put way more damage on my chair than someone who uses it even as a full-time user because I don't drive. I've got a lot of damage on my chair. So I made a call, had a service technician come in and look at the chair. And this is early in the week. Again, as we said, we're taping on a Friday. So this was, I think, Tuesday this happened. And because things are just, you know, expanding at such an exponential pace or a rapid pace, it seems like forever ago. But again, he was able to come into the house, and, you know, no problems. He was wearing gloves and he had sanitizer with him and, you know, followed the necessary protocols that he needed to do. They had a look at my chair and we went from there, kind of ordered in some parts. There were some parts that would need to be ordered for my chair. But even then, it's that kind of uncertainty about, you know, okay, well, we can order these parts, but we don't know when they'll come in and we don't know, you know, how soon this work will get done, right? Nobody knows. It's just such an uncertain time. But yeah, the furthest I have been has been to the grocery store, really, which is like literally a block from my house. He looked at my tires when he was here servicing my chair. My tires are getting very bald. There's some tread showing on my pneumatic wheelchair tires. And he says, "Do you want me to order tires?" I said, "I need tires, but I usually go to a bike shop." We've talked about that before. We usually, you know, find a bike shop and just it's faster that way and cheaper that way. And even then I was kind of second guessing, well, maybe the bike shops won't even be open when I need to go get tires. And so it's a weird, it's just such a weird, weird spot we're all in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll just wait and see what happens. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's all we can do. You had mentioned, that, obviously a lot of your clientele has made the call to stop services. We sort of already talked about, you know, your other job, being, having the capability of working from home. I have to wonder if there are, and again, the gym industry has been hit hard. Everybody's closed down. I have to wonder if there are personal trainers that are now offering online or remote training sessions. Although I imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I imagine that with your clientele being persons with disabilities, and I think you might've said this earlier, they may lack the technology or the resources to sort of have an online training session, right?
The group sessions, online is not an option, but my one-on-one clients were I put it out there for them and kind of left it up to them if they wanted to do it or if they want to do it. But
it's really, really hard doing a home workout as a person with a disability.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. that's a great point, Brett. Thanks for chiming back in there. We hadn't heard from you in a few minutes.
But to your point, man, like I work out, and Brett too. We work out at Good Life.
We don't. We're closed.
Sorry, you said no. We don't. Said no. Closed.
Yeah, well, that's my point, right? But they sent an email out saying, like, we've made this decision. Like everybody else, we didn't come to it lightly, all that stuff. But until we figure it out, memberships are suspended. And we will offer free online workouts to anybody that wants it. So it just speaks to what we were talking to earlier in a different kind of capacity. People will figure out how to get stuff done. As long as you have the equipment, even if you don't, I haven't looked at the website, but they probably have body weight workouts. I have a treadmill in my house, so you guys are going to laugh, but I'm on my treadmill regularly now.
I'll be the first one to laugh if Brett won't, just because I'm visualizing you being on a treadmill.
It's a great cardio workout.
Yeah. That actually, and Andy and I have talked at length about how we've known each other since we were kids, and Brett as well. But I have fond memories, Andy, of spending many a night at your parents' place at the time, and waking up to you doing your workouts and hearing you wheezing from what was your kind of workout room in the basement of your parents' place. So I'm just hearkening back to what your wheezing might sound like on the treadmill as you try and get your steps in.
Well, luckily it's upstairs in the loft that we were talking about earlier. So nobody hears it. I got a little bit of home gym set up there. So we'll see how long it lasts and then make decisions on how in depth I want my home set up to be.
All right, so I think we are about the time where we are wrapping up. Typically here on the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, we throw to our offside moment, those moments that happen through the week that or have happened in the past that make us chuckle or say WTF. I think, though, for in order to remain sensitive to everything that's been happening, it's just been such a crazy time that I think we're going to sort of declare that the offside thing is kind of situational. I know when we started this week thinking we were going to have a good friend of mine growing up, Matt Arguin, on the podcast. And I know that Matt, and I don't want to steal anything from his interview with us, but I know that he's going to have a lot of stories to share, which would probably be considered offside material. So I don't want to go ahead and say that we're going to get rid of offside. I think we'll just say for the week that, or even for the you know, week to week, that just given the gravity and the sincerity of what's happening around the world, it might be considered a little insensitive, even for us, to visit the offside every week. So let's just, we'll forego the offside for this week. We'll leave it kind of week to week. We want to respect our guests when we do have them on the show. And I know that with the quarantine and everything, you know, kind of changing day by day, we have lined up a couple of guests that would like to be on the podcast and now have, like us, have a kind of an indefinite amount of time on their hands. And so a lot of guests coming, a lot of things coming here in the future as we try and get some new content for you. So when we get those guests on, we might revisit the offside moment. But for now, I think we will just leave it alone. This is the point where I say thank you to my partners in crime here, Andy and Brett. And again, remind anyone that is listening that if you are new to the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, you can go back and check out any of the old episodes on any podcatching device of your choice. We're on all the major distributors, whether it be Google, Apple, Spotify, whatever the heck you want to look us up on. You could find us, Team Ability No Excuses podcast, as well as probably find all of our social media outlets quite easily if you need to reach any of us directly. Although don't contact Brett because he will just argue with you.